Thank you so much for joining us on a Tuesday. Good to be back, even if it's only for a few days. I'm off next week, and Katie and Nate take the reins all week long while I'm in what is rainy and thundery Mexico. I've been looking at the weather, Nate.
Lucky you.
Yeah, thunder and rain and clouds and all that, but that's fine. Hey, I haven't seen rain in a while. We are out here at the studios of CBS TV. Good Day Sacramento set right in front of us. We'll be putting pictures out on the @TheDrive1140 Twitter account. Please do follow them along with us, as we'll show you exactly what we're doing. We're out here with the Red Cross and Good Day. There's a telethon happening, raising money for those who've been affected by those floods you're seeing on TV out in Louisiana and also the fires here in California. Red Cross always doing wonderful work. 877-239-2931. That's 877-239-2931. All of us here, thank you in advance for your support. You can also very easily text LA Floods, one word, LA FLOODS, LA Floods, or, you know, for Louisiana Floods, to 909-99. That's 909-99, and a $10 donation will be made to the Red Cross. We spoke to Sam Amick, who's down in Rio for the Olympics, right around 6:30. A lot of you may have missed that. We talked to him about a number of things. We'll re-rack that right now, and I start out asking Sam about what I thought was an amazing article on Gabby Douglas, the American gymnast, and all the garbage that she's been dealing with. Live from Rio. And this is going to tie in fantastically here. It's the one, the only, normally USA Today's big-time NBA writer, along with Jeff and a few others. But he's down there in the Olympics doing phenomenal work. Sam Amick. Sam, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. How are you, buddy?
Doing great, guys. Nice to talk to you. Some friendly voices out here in the foreign land.
I'm so stupid because I'm sitting here. We're broadcasting from the CBS TV studios with Good Day. You're in Rio, and I'm sitting here like giddy because you sound great, Sam. And you're in Brazil. That's great. You're not faking people out. You're not like at your home right now. You're really in Brazil.
I'm actually back by my pool. I got a bunch of hanging out, but you know my editors don't listen to your show. No offense. So I think I'm in the clear.
Hey, first thing for you, because you're doing great work, and you're getting a lot of you're getting a lot of fanfare for this, and rightfully so. Your story on Gabby Douglas and the garbage she's dealt with, and Sam, I know you well, and I know that you probably thought about this line in your article quite a few times. I'm so glad you put it in there when you said you wanted to at one point go over and take her phone and give her a hug. I'm paraphrasing, but I think you made it so personal when you said that. I think that made the piece. How emotional was that whole interaction?
Yeah, I mean, it was something else. For one, if anybody missed it, like before she talked to the media after the uneven bars, her mother had actually done an interview with Reuters where she talked about how the social media stuff was ruining Gabby's experience. So I learned quickly from some of our gymnast experts at USA Today who cover it all the time that they didn't know what to make of it because her mother is a little bit notorious for being a bit dramatic. So we went into it, you know, really wanting to find out, like, where's Gabby's head at and is her mom really representing how she feels or what's going on here? So she winds up having a disappointing finish in the uneven bars, and then she talks to all of us. And it was kind of fun because obviously I'm always doing hoops, so you have a change of pace. And you got guys like Dan Wetzel from Yahoo there, and Les Carpenter, who's a fantastic writer, and all trying to get inside Gabby's head a little bit. And when we got to the topic of the social media stuff, I mean, the expression on her face changed. It obviously bothered her quite a bit. She talked about it at length. She teared up a little bit during the interview, but the more powerful stuff was after she was done. And I'm kind of glad that I ended up sticking around and really just kind of watching her from a distance. There was this area where she went, where the media was not allowed. And to be honest, if I had been allowed, I probably would have tried to go talk with her a little more. But because of that restriction, I was kind of stuck just watching her. And she had just told us that people around her were telling her to get off her phone. And the first thing she does after she's talking to us is to go over by herself in the corner of the room and pull her phone out and start swiping through. And it was one of the more painful things I've seen just from a kind of an emotional standpoint, because I'm going to pull the old guy card here, Dave, and you can relate because we're both similar ages. Like, no, I'm serious. Like,
yeah, no, you're right.
Generationally, I'm covering her. I'm writing about her. You're a journalist. in that moment, I wanted to be like, ah, screw that. I want to walk over there and give her a hug and say, sweetie, who cares what they're saying on there? Put the phone away. You're tremendous. Yeah. You're doing amazing stuff here. And sure enough, you know, she keeps looking at the phone, and then she's got to pull the tissue out and start dabbing her eyes, and then somebody's hugging her, and she was crying, and she was upset. I mean, it was tough to watch.
You know, it's one of those things to me. When you are any type of a public figure, Sam, you have to be able to – you have to have a little bit thicker skin, and sometimes it's difficult to do, and she's endured a lot of things. I actually want to transition a little bit to basketball, because in a way the men's Olympic team has kind of had to endure some criticism themselves, because this is a team that has gone over there with really high expectations and have not performed at the level that we're used to seeing the USA men's team perform at in the Olympics, which is just utter domination. They're winning, but not by the dominant kind of means that they have in the past. What is going on with that team internally in terms of, you know, what they're hearing from the outside?
Well, I mean, they seem like they're fine as far as being in a good place. Jimmy Butler was the one who keeps banging his drum about, you know, I don't really care what y'all say. If we win, we win. That's all that matters. And so they're kind of falling back on that. They're also, to their credit, they're being pretty candid. You know, I wrote today about how I had asked Paul George after the game against France, you know, he made a comment about how we're going to have to grind these games out. And I said, all right, I get that, but I'm curious going in, what did you think it was going to be like? And I love it when a guy's not afraid to be honest. And he kind of laughs. He goes, oh, I thought we were going to dominate. And he flat out said, he goes, I thought these games were going to be easy. And they've been anything but. And Kevin Durant was kind of sending a similar message, admitting that it's tougher than they thought it was going to be. What's going on, I think, is partly a combination of, you know, you see this every Olympics. The Americans have tried to do a better job of having continuity in their program. But unfortunately, the bottom line is right now they've only got four players on this team who competed in the FIBA World Cup 2 years ago. They've only got two players, Kevin Durant and Carmelo Anthony, who were on the Olympic team in London in 2012. And you kind of juxtapose that with teams like Argentina and Spain and Brazil and France, who have got these cores who have been together for years and years and years. I mean, Manu Ginobili and Luis Scola and Carlos Delfino and Andres Nocioni, those guys are going three and four Olympics deep. And the chemistry that comes with that, you see one side having a lot of it and they can read each other and they're just, you know, they're all on the same page. And the Americans are still figuring it out. There's not really any negativity or any, like, you know, kind of salacious subplot going on right now. I think it's just a bunch of guys that are used to being alpha males on their teams and trying to figure out what their identity is.
Sam Amick joining us from Brazil while the Wi-Fi holds up down there in his magic party shuttle bus, whatever he's got.
I got to get the visual here. As my voice bounces, that's because these shuttles have no shocks. And the streets of Rio, my backside, I'm going to have probably, you know, I'm not a massage guy. I'm going to have to go find somebody to work me out when we're done out here. These are some brutal
things. Hey, Sam, you know what? Stick to the bus, though.
Yeah,
stay
the Olympic
out of the
team already
cabs.
Tried that.
Stay out of the taxi cabs. That's all I'm saying.
The basketball team got in trouble for that, Sam. Easy.
I know, right?
So, yeah, so okay. It's the thoroughly vibrated Sam Amick joining us from Rio on KHDK. Sam, you brought up the inexperience of Team USA, and now we're starting to see articles like, you know, we should have seen this coming because they're missing LeBron and Steph, and look at this roster, all these various excuses. Are we not giving enough credit to the other nations when we feel the need to point those things out?
Yeah, Nate, I think so. I think there's part of that. I think that, you know, and this is fun for me because this is my first Olympics, and when I covered FIBA a couple of years ago, I had not covered international ball like that. And so even for me, the eye-opening and the respect that I have for these other teams grows, you know, and really is kind of doubled in this tournament because you see it again. I mean, FIBA, the Americans dominated. They won by an average of 33 points. And so this is, in that regard, kind of the first time I'm really seeing the way these teams play and how cohesive they are. So there is, I think, from some circles, a lack of respect for the talent, not only the talent overseas, but again, it's the culture and it's the program. And it's the fact that even these coaches, you know, some of these coaches have known these guys since they were kids.
Yeah.
And you see that on the floor, and defensively specifically is where Team USA just, there's so much back cutting, there's so much movement from so many of these offenses, and a lot of the American players are just caught sleeping. And if you're a step or two behind, I mean, they're getting beat back door like crazy lately. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Tom Thibodeau is just losing his mind. I wrote today, too, that, you know, there's no way he's getting good sleep out here because the defense has been terrible. I mean, their offense, I don't know if you guys have looked at the numbers at all, best offense in the Olympics by like 15 points per game. So they're scoring the ball. They just can't stop anybody. Yeah.
Sam Amick joining us from Brazil as he is down there covering the Olympics. Sam, a little behind the scenes, you started to get into the bus and all that. How long's the flight? How are your accommodations? But more importantly, we hear a lot about, you know, Zika and Rio and crime and garbage and poop in the water and all that. Honestly, you've been down there long enough. Is that been overblown or pretty much right on the head?
So my breakdown is this. The flight, we went on vacation with the family leading into this in New York, which is a lot of fun. And so I flew from JFK down to Miami. Unfortunately, it was delayed. Got stuck for a day in Miami. The flight from Miami to here was about 8 hours. So it was a red eye. Once I got on it, no big deal. It was fine. The rest of that stuff, I kind of fall somewhere in the middle. The Zika has not been a concern. I think I've seen two mosquitoes since I've been here. The off that I brought with me, and hopefully
that
I don't
you know
up.
Of.
Yeah, I know. But part of it is, Katie, it's the winter out here, and yeah. The numbers on Zika are down about 90% from what they were 3 or 4 months ago. And so the local message, you know, and even from the IOC officials, is that it's not nearly the concern they thought it was going to be. There's a lot of other stuff, though. I mean, I keep describing Rio to people as, and this is kind of a sad statement, but it's just a little bit of a spoiled paradise because it's so beautiful and it's so amazing. And even yesterday I did sneak away and go up to Sugarloaf, which is the incredible mountain that overlooks the entire bay. And from that distance, from 30,000 feet, it just, you see how pristine it is. But then they've obviously got, it's a tough place. They've got a lot of issues. The media housing where we are, to answer that question, Dave, is about 35 minutes away from the main press center. And the housing's fine. But as we walked out this morning, there's a stench in the air that you just kind of get used to because a lot of the local sewer systems are just ill-equipped to deal with the people. And so, you know, on a relative basis, we've been lucky. We're not suffering through anything. I can take a hot shower and go to the restroom and all those things. But you certainly see that a lot of the country doesn't have those kinds of luxuries, and it's eye-opening. I mean, it certainly makes you appreciate what we have back home.
Sam, I want to actually get back a little bit to basketball before we let you go. I wanted to talk about the men's team in the sense that we know that the national teams for other countries, there's a longevity there. They've been together for several years, played in multiple Olympics together. A lot of them are NBA players. However, when you look at this national team for USA, this is a group of guys that have not played well together. It's a young group. I'm a little, from what I'm seeing, they're not really playing very well to their strengths. They're trying to play more of a half-court game with teams that are just much better coached in terms of the amount of time they've been together and game plans in terms of playing to their strengths. What do you see in terms of changing moving forward as the Olympics progress for the Americans to be able to play more to their strengths?
Well, I mean, it's the balance of the roster makes things, I think, a little tricky on Coach K, because he's clearly been prioritizing offense. You know, that starting lineup he has is offensively heavy, defensively light. And I don't know if he's going to go back the other direction. He started bringing Paul George off the bench, and I thought that was a good move because you had Paul and Jimmy Butler wreaking havoc on the perimeter defensively. So you've already seen a few tweaks. The to me, what's also interesting, and this is for the local audience too, is the DeMarcus Cousins, DeAndre Jordan, the allotment of minutes and how you play those guys. Everything with this roster is kind of the two extremes. I mean, DeMarcus is just a fantastic offensive player, and he's gotten better defensively, but, you know, DeAndre is a defensive player of the year candidate. I just think they've got to find a way to impose their will more defensively. And, I mean, the offensive stuff you talk about, playing in the half court, and the style that they're choosing a lot of times right now, it's because they're taking the ball out of the basket and it's slowing the game down and they're getting forced into those situations. So it's just a little bit, it's a wildly talented group where they don't fit all that well. You got, you know, Carmelo saves the day one day and drops 35 or whatever he had. And Kevin Durant, you know, I'm waiting for him to have a game like that. But Klay Thompson went off. But it's not a sustainable way, I don't think, to just kind of wait and see which guy can put on the hero cape and come out and get it done by himself.
Well, Sam, I mean, what exactly would this team's ceiling be defensively when, you know, two of your biggest players that you pretty much have to have on the floor are Kyrie Irving and Carmelo Anthony?
I know. Well, and that's the conversation yesterday. It's like, it's funny, though. You almost have to change your perception. Like, Melo defensively internationally is better than Melo defensively in the NBA. So I was asking someone yesterday, like, what if you just said, go through the starting lineup and you say, good, bad, defensively. It's like, all right, Kyrie's bad. Klay Thompson, good. Kevin Durant, I'm probably putting on the good side now. He's gotten a lot better. Melo is kind of, I don't know which way to go. And then DeMarcus is, I'm going to give him a bad. So, I mean, you're right. I don't know what the ceiling is. And I don't see, like, Klay in particular, just to pick one guy, during the FIBA tournament in Spain, like, I have distinct memories of just watching Klay go out and just play defense in fifth gear in the kind of way that you don't see him play during the NBA season because he's playing 30-plus minutes, and they just got into teams in a way they're not now. I think Kyrie is a big part of that because, you know, if you got the bigs always knowing that they're going to have to help and not being able to just worry about, you know, their own guy in their own area, that's not ideal. And we all know that Kyrie, you know, lets guys go by him, you know, on a pretty routine basis. So, in that regard, it's a tough mix, but they got to figure it out. I mean, this game in the quarterfinals against Argentina is going to be interesting because they're a small team, and they get up and go, and these guys are going to be tested, I think, again.
When are you back, Sam?
Not for a while. The 24th. It's a long haul, gold medal game. I want to say it's, what, the 21st, 22nd?
Yep.
And then in the interest of kind of just taking a quick breather at the end, and maybe seeing a place a little more that I likely will never get back to. I added a little bit of time at the end, so we still get a long haul.
You did a great job on that piece, seriously. Not that your other stuff isn't good, but I think that's something you're going to be proud of a long time from now. You're doing great work, Sam, and we appreciate you joining us from the bumpy Brazil bus.
You got it, guys. Great to talk to you.
Thanks, Sam.
All right, take care. That is Sam Amick from Brazil.
Yeah.
All right, that's Sam Amick from Brazil, as we talked to him earlier today. Actually, really good reception, considering he's on a bus Wi-Fi making the phone call. If you hear cheering in the background, that's awesome. That means another donation came in. We're out here at CBS TV headquarters, Good Day Sacramento set. I'm looking at Cody Stark and Marion McClary and all the superstars from Good Day Sacramento as we're out here with the Red Cross. They're doing a telethon raising money for the floods in Louisiana, the fires here. Some information for you we've been putting out all day, 877-239-2931. That's 877-239-2931, and you can text LA Floods. It's not Los Angeles, it's Louisiana, but LA Floods.
All one word.
To 90999. That's 90999, and a $10 donation will be made on your behalf to the Red Cross. Matt Barrows, by the way, coming up in just a few minutes.
You know how we were just talking during our last break about how random, you know, how Twitter works and you'll get like a
yes.
like or something or a reply or something from several days ago. Well, check this one out. I just got a like on a tweet that I sent out, a picture of me and Doug Christie from 731 days ago.
Wow. People are rolling through.
It's like, how much time did you spend on the timeline to get to that?
See, who's it from?
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah, but click on who it is.
Yeah.
Okay, because it's somebody named Faith. Okay, Walter. Look at this. Look at this. This is just what I was talking
yes.
to you about. Faith Walter. And her description on Twitter is, "Hi, smiley face. I'm looking for a man. You can come to me at,"
yeah.
and then there's her porn. That's a porn bot. That's just what I was telling
that's
you about. You're getting
craziness.
Them. And usually the only people that get porn bots are people that surf porn, so.
Oh, yeah, all the time,
all
Dave.
The time?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
That was a good effort.
I tried.
Yeah, you tried.
You got served.
Yeah. Like, yeah, just like your palms would be hairy, too.
Real quick, there's Tina McCall over there. Hey, how are you? We're infiltrating.
I'm glad you caught it. I was like, glancing over there to see if she'd be looking.
It's funny.
Not, I wanted to give her the big idiot wave.
We were talking about this in the hall. We feel weird because we're infiltrating the TV people. And now, you know, there's like TV and there's radio. And I feel like the TV people see us and they're like, yeah.
Yeah.
Ew, radio. Radio. Gross.
Well, what does that mean for me then? Because I'm both.
You're a hybrid, just like Ken and just like Tina.
I'm a hybrid.
You, Ken, and Tina are TV and radio people.
No. That's not actually, no, that's not how it works because, like, you can be the best person in the world, but if you kill one dog, you're still a dog killer.
Yeah.
Like, once you go radio.
You had to use the dog analogy.
Well, I mean, they were more extreme.
This is so random. I'm sorry, my brain's working
morning.
It's so,
like what I do.
The Who Let the Dogs Out song that has been playing just all over the Olympics, like in the background, like at games and things like that.
Dateline 1990.
It is so bad to me because that song was popular in the when the Olympics
90s,
were in Atlanta. It was 1996, wasn't it, when they were in Atlanta?
I don't know if it was that long ago. I'm going to look it up. But,
I'm
it was
2000 by the Baja Man.
Yeah. I mean,
16 years ago.
They were playing that in the 2000 Olympics.
Yeah. What was
and
that?
Was that
Sydney?
No, that was in Atlanta, wasn't
Atlanta
it?
Atlanta was 96.
It was 96.
Sydney.
Yeah, I think it was Sydney.
Was it Athens?
It was Athens.
Yeah. Sydney was 2004, and then it was Beijing and then London.
I just remember them playing it a lot during the women's national team games, the basketball games. And I'm like, really? They're still – that song is so played out.
Because the girls – and then the girls come out.
And dogs, yeah.
One of the world's great unanswered questions, though. We never figured it
out. Nobody told us who let the dogs out.
Who did? Like, who was it?
I feel it's like when I have people over to my house, and every single time there's a party at my house, someone leaves the front door open.
Yeah.
Like, they'll leave,
and
they'll
play
just
the song.
Leave the front door open, and then the whole party has to depart for several moments, hopefully just moments, to go find my beagle,
to see who let her out,
and where the heck she is.
What kind of a dog owner you are. Like, as soon as somebody opens the door, your dogs are like your dogs are like Andy Dufresne and Shawshank. Like, freedom! Freedom! They're running down the streets. We got away. We got away from the tall lady.
My dog's lives are really, really tough.
We're tagging a 50-foot woman.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with Matt Barras. It's Carmichael, Dave, Nate Goodyear, and Dog Lady on Sports 1140 KSTK. Matt Barras joining us now, Whiskey, Wine, and Spirits Festival. Join KHDK this Friday, California Museum. Step back in time, enjoy an opulent party. Reminisce of the Great Gatsby era where Matt was most comfortable. Finest whiskeys, wines, and spirits from around the region included, and live entertainment and delicious bites. Purchase your tickets at KHDK.com. We'll have a pair of tickets to give away to this in the next segment from the Sacramento Bee, SacB.com. Our good friend Matt Barras joins us. Hi, Matt.
Boy, I bet the 49ers would like to step back in time.
Oh, it was so.
That was the best I could do with that.
No, you did fine. I said you did great. You're right. I wish. I'm watching the game. And let's start with this. Please define as best you can, Dr. Barras, a dead arm.
Well,
do you want me to give you one?
I don't know if dead arm is the right definition. To me, dead arm is sort of a colloquial thing that, you know, people throw around. It means the same as camp arm and tired arm. But there is something called dead arm syndrome that is actually a medical condition, and that's a little bit more nefarious. And to every indication to this point is that Kaepernick does not have that, that he has the more run-of-the-mill issue that happens when you overwork your arm. And maybe do so after coming back from an injury, and you haven't been throwing as much, and that adds up. I mean, he went from not throwing at all back in May to now going through Chip Kelly practices. So that makes sense. The question, of course, is, you know, how long is this going to take? How long will he be out? He indicated the other day that it's something that they want to get on top of now, you know, before the regular season begins, because it is something that if you try to work through it, it never really goes away, and it becomes a longer-term issue that does take longer to deal with. So the question is, does he take part in these practices this week with the Denver Broncos? They've got joint practices on Wednesday and Thursday before their game together on Saturday. There is a very short practice later today, starting at 10:25, that I'll attend, and all eyes will be on Kaepernick to see if whether he is doing any passing at all.
Matt, is it too much to speculate that this fatigue, and as well as his struggles with accuracy over the last season or so, can be traced back to his what appears to be a distaste for working on his mechanics?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's really, to me, everything I've heard is that, you know, here's a guy that is intent, very intent on regaining his starting spot, and he was starting from behind. He didn't take any of the spring reps or very few of the spring reps in practice, and realized that he had a lot of ground to make up. And I think it's just somebody who was trying too hard to catch up to Blaine Gabbert, and took a lot of extra throws because of that. And it's a lesson for all the kids out there. Sometimes you can work too hard. And now every school kid who's listening to this is going to be on the sofa saying, you know what, Mom, I don't really want to do my homework. I don't want to think too hard today. I don't want to hurt my brain. I don't want school brain to inflict me. But, you can overdo it, and I think that's what Colin Kaepernick did.
You know, Matt, I'm curious, when you look at this team last season, there's plenty of changes, including at the head coaching spot, and it's a completely different system that Chip Kelly has them in, supposed to be a much quicker system. They had some pretty bad turnover problems as it was last year. We saw them in the first preseason game, which I think is pretty typical for a preseason game. But under this new system offensively for Chip Kelly, how much can turnovers rearing their ugly head for this team again really affect this defense?
Well, you saw it. You saw it in this game. I mean, the 49ers won the statistical game pretty dramatically. I mean, we're talking about yards gained and yards per play, et cetera, et cetera. What they didn't win is the scoreboard. And as Chip Kelly noted, that's because 14 points went in the Texans' favor. As far as the defense, you know, they're already behind the eight ball in terms of the pace of this offense. So if the offense not only is getting on and off the field quickly and putting the defense on the field quickly and is turning the ball over, that's going to be a huge problem for Navarro Bowman and company. To me, it was a bit fluky. Two fumbles in a game from your running back, that's quite rare these days. I don't think that Carlos Hyde has ever had a fumble problem, at least not recently. So, I think we can dismiss this as a fluke unless we see it happening again in the Broncos game on Saturday.
Matt Barrows joining us, covers the 49ers for the Sacramento Bee, sacbee.com. Matt, what came out of the preseason game that we liked as Niner fans?
That third drive, and then into Thad Lewis's drives, you know, the 49ers were in control. I mean, they were very much pushing the pace, and I think the Texans were very much struggling with that pace. Once Blaine Gabbert got things going, it was his time to leave the field. So we really couldn't see the real secret weapon of this offense, which is just attrition, what it does to a defense. And I think that if Gabbert had a fourth, a fifth, a sixth series out there, things would have been a lot differently. So that was what they were taking away. Gabbert's take at the end of the game was that we wanted to show ourselves that we could get out there and run this offense like we knew how. And I think that was satisfying for them, that they had at least that one drive where everything was clicking like they thought it could, because in that offense, once you get that one drive going, it leads to drive number two and three and four, and you start to have that pace, that unrelenting pace that Chip Kelly's offense is famous for.
Matt, I'm curious, when you look at the quarterback kind of battle that's going on in San Francisco, Cap doesn't play because of the injuries. Gabbert doesn't really play particularly well or well enough to kind of edge out Cap this early in the preseason. But then Thad Lewis comes in and then he gets injured, and that completely loses him for the season with that ACL. How much is that going to affect this quarterback battle if those two can't figure out who is going to really edge out the other and win that starting spot?
Well, you are starting to run into a numbers issue. I mean, the 49ers have been going through these practices, which Chip Kelly says are high in passing volume with four quarterbacks. Now they definitely have three, and they may have two. So, you know, if that's the case, if Kaepernick can't practice this week, they have to add at least one, maybe even two other quarterbacks to this mix. I don't think that that it certainly doesn't help your quarterback competition. I think Chip Kelly wanted as much top competition for that number one job as possible. The guys that you bring in at this point are merely camp arms. So, you know, the bigger issue is that if Kaepernick can't go this week and can't play in the Saturday game, then, you know, it's Gabbert, who's the starter to begin the season. You know, that doesn't mean that Colin Kaepernick won't start any games at all in 2016. I think he probably will. I think both will. But this quarterback competition to have the right to start for week one, that would pretty much be over, I would think, if Kaepernick can't play in two games.
Mm-hmm. Matt Barrows of the Bee joining us on KHTK talking 49ers. Matt, what's the feeling on how the offensive line performed in the first game?
Yeah, I think it was pretty good. A bit staggered. There were some mistakes made, but again, when you come back, come away with 236 rushing yards, that's a pretty good game. And I thought that some of the guys who are really fighting for starting spots, Trent Brown, Andrew Tiller, both had largely good games. You know, there were mistakes here and there. The Carlos Hyde fumble was because those two guys, the right side of that line, did not get off the snap very quickly and didn't get to their guys in time, or at least get to their opponents before their opponents got to Carlos Hyde. So it wasn't perfect, but by and large, they played well, and I think that's exactly what the 49ers are looking for. They're looking for competition. They're looking for multiple possibilities at each of these spots, and then because of that, each of those spots will get a little bit better. It's a far cry from last year when they were just sort of randomly plugging guys in and out. The 49ers never began one of their preseason games with the same starting five who ended up starting against Minnesota in week one last year. That was just how they were grasping at straws for a while. There seems to be more certainty that they have the guys this year. Now the question is, which are the right guys, and how soon can we get that right, that starting five in gear, in order, so that they can play a couple of preseason games together?
Nobody covers the Niners better than Matt Barrows. You can check him out, sackb.com. Also follow him on Twitter. Matt, we appreciate it. Thank you, buddy.
Anytime, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Matt.
That is Matt Barrows joining us. 11th caller right now, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140, gets a pair of tickets to the Sacramento Wine, Whiskey, and Spirits Festival.
Spirits.
Is that what it is?
No, it's a Whiskey, Wine, and Spirits Festival. Thanks. California Museum, Friday, August 19th. That's this Friday. I like to mix it up. Finest whiskeys, wines, and spirits from around the region at this great Gatsby-themed party. Go to KHGK.com for details. We are nice enough to infiltrate. The good TV people are nice enough to host the rabble from radio
rabble,
over here.
Rabble.
They're doing a fantastic thing with the Red Cross. Telethon out here at Good Day Sacramento headquarters, as I call it, CBS 13 headquarters out here on KOVR Drive. Like I said, we need KHTK Drive. We need to do that. That's when you hit the big time. All kinds of stuff going on, guys. The floods in Louisiana you've seen on TV, the forest fires out here in California, and Red Cross is right there on the front lines. To donate, please call 877-239-2931. That's 877-239-2931. On behalf of all of us here at CBS, we thank you. Also, L.A. floods. L.A. is in Louisiana. One word, L.A. floods. To 90999. That's 90999. Just text LA floods there, $10 donation gets made. We'll take a break. We'll come back and finish off the show right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Thanks to everybody joining us out here on the set of Good Day Sacramento.
Hey.
Don't forget that Scott Marsh and Bobby Jackson go from noon to 2 today. Damian and Ken, 2 to 5, in for the vacationing.
It's Bobby Jacks, huh?
Grant Napier. Wanted to get to this, guys. We can do some more tomorrow, but Aramark. which is the concessionaire of concessionaires.
Love these things.
They've been working with Andrew Zimmern and Michael Simon, celebrity chefs, to come up with some new stadium dishes across the
Hold
NFL.
On. Andrew Zimmern is the weird foods
yes,
guy.
He's the bizarre foods guy. You know, it's funny, though. Guys like Zimmern, guys like Anthony Bourdain, once upon a time were, like, amazing chefs who just found their niche doing their shows. So here's some of the crazy food items, and I just want you guys to give me a quick yay, nay on this.
Okay.
Michael Simon has Mr. Porky brought, and that's at Cleveland. The Mr. Porky is topped with a Carolina-style barbecued pulled pork.
Hold on, this is like a hot dog? Or?
So it's a brat. It's a bratwurst, okay. Topped with Carolina-style barbecued pulled pork, shredded in Carolina-style, more of your vinegar-based sauce on there. Shredded cheddar cheese and jalapenos.
I would get into that.
And it actually doesn't say in the description, but it looks like a pretzel bun there.
It
I believe.
Sure does. So, I would get right up in that.
Matt,
I really
Matt,
like it.
Isolate that, please. Okay. number two, the theme here are stacks. They call them the Baltimore stack for the Ravens. This is surf and turf over fries. It's French fries, your normal French fries, topped with shaved Baltimore pit beef. Maryland crab dip, aged cheddar cheese, green onions, and cherry peppers.
So that's and what is it that they're?
This is the Baltimore stack.
Yeah.
And no, but I'm just trying to figure out what it is that they're covering up there because they do such a good job franchise.
That is the
cover up.
I gotcha.
I see what you're doing, but that is the Maryland crab cake sauce.
Pit beef and crab dip, though?
Hey, you know what?
You have to eat this with a fork.
I'll try
all
just
these things...
about, as you know from our trip to China together,
yeah,
I'll try just about anything
I
once.
Know. What, Nate? You were
that's
incredulous.
Not, well, no, well, that's not what she said in Vegas. Like, why does that go for China and not Vegas?
Jeez,
no,
Nate.
All these right things there. Are delicious, but like, how could you eat something like that at the ballpark? I mean, granted, I don't.
You go
like,
for the beer.
Well, no, I mean, that's the big part of it. But like, if you eat something like that, who doesn't want to take a nap after they eat something like that?
You know what, though?
I guess that's just me because I don't eat
like
at all.
If you're going to a
no,
Niner
you
game today,
but, yeah.
this year, then you probably want to sleep through the second half.
That's true.
Kansas City has their barbecue stack. These are waffle fries topped with slow-smoked beef brisket,
Ooh.
Charred corn, and sweet potato poblano relish with roasted apple crunch and pepper jack cheese.
Oh, yes,
count me in on that
sir.
One, dude.
That's, you know how I like the poblanos.
Yeah, I do. That's not a flattering picture, though.
It doesn't look appetizing.
No, it looks like a toilet.
That's why it does
no,
not.
No, it does. It looks
just because
like,
it has corn in it.
You know
Dave.
What? It looks like something you would find on Reddit when someone's like, hey, these are real loaded fries. And you're like, dude, that's
right,
disgusting.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. I think they look quite delicious.
They sound delicious.
They sound delicious.
It's interesting.
Okay.
I really want to try this because it's either going to be really good or really gross. The Brat Burger. Again, in Baltimore. This is...
Oh, wow.
It's a hamburger.
It's an actual burger.
But the bratwurst is a patty. It's a patty. Think of everything in a bratwurst, but a patty.
What would we do if we had, like, a hot dog as an actual...
Yes.
Patty.
Yes. Grilled onions, pepper, peppered sauerkraut, cheese sauce, and
See,
pickles on a pretzel roll.
I can't get down with sauerkraut.
Oh, I love sauerkraut.
And I'm not really a big pickle fan on things.
I love sauerkraut.
Like, I can eat pickles by themselves, but I don't want them on my sandwiches.
You never hear about sweet kraut. You ever know something?
No.
I don't
it's
want
always
them on
something.
My sandwiches.
The Chicago combo stack.
Oh, now that
shockingly,
looks disgusting.
Shockingly, this is for Bears fans. The Chicago combo stack brings in celery salt dusted kettle chips.
Okay.
Hold on. Topped with Italian beef, Italian sausage, marinara, au jus, melted provolone, and Jardiniera.
No, that's disgusting.
That's the pickled veggies.
I'm going to say this right now, you guys. Chicago-style food sucks. Their hot dog sucks. Deep dish pizza sucks.
You're
like, it's
so
all bad.
Oh,
you're
done.
So wrong.
No, you guys, I'm sorry.
Deep dish, or are you kidding me? Chicago pizza with the crust on the
garbage.
Deep
garbage,
dish
garbage.
Chicago-style hot dog?
Nope.
It's my
no
favorite
good,
hot
dude.
Dog.
Uh-uh.
Wow.
What, you put a pickle in all the stupid
pickle,
Come
tomato,
on.
Celery, salt.
No, what the big
relish,
idea for Chicago-style is just to take a bunch of crap and throw it on there.
Wow.
Like that's, and it's bad crap, too. No.
I could understand
pizza,
the hot dog.
Deep dish pizza
don't
stinks.
You, don't
wow.
you say
bad.
That.
Don't
nope.
you
say that.
Regular
wow.
pizza. It's on normal crust, dude.
No.
It's real simple.
Oh, no.
Come on. How could you betray Mountain Mike's like that,
dude? I love Mountain Mike's. I love them.
They do Chicago-style pizza?
If they did, I would welcome it.
They don't because they know better,
Dave. I
can
get down with this next one,
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Even Mike knows.
Doing their Cuban fry stack. The Cuban fry stack is smoked ham, roast pork, salami, and fried pickles with a mustard cheese sauce on top of fries. animal-style frites, which is just a nice way of fries. Fries with brown peppercorn gravy, mozzarella cheese, pancetta, a fried egg, and whole grain
butter. I don't want anything at a ballpark that has a fried egg on it.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
We'll take a break. We'll take a 21-hour break. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Don't forget, Marsh and Bobby in noon to 2 doing the lowdown. Damien and Ken, 2 to 5. And then I believe it's A's baseball this evening afterwards. Thanks to everybody out here at Good Day Sacramento. For Nate Goodyear, Katie Christensen, I'm Carmichael Dave. We'll see you tomorrow back in studio. Enjoy the rest of your broadcast day on Sports 1140 KHTK.